Welcome to Unit 5, HIT Design for Teamwork and Communication. The focus of Unit 5.1 is teamwork, communication, and care coordination. The objective of Unit 5.1 is to assess the impact of teamwork and communication on patient safety and care coordination. Effective teamwork and communication are absolutely critical for ensuring the safe and reliable delivery of healthcare. Healthcare is the product of many diverse disciplines that are united in a common purpose: to deliver healthcare that is safe, effective, timely, patient-centered, efficient, and equitable. To do so, they need to coordinate their efforts, to collaborate, and to communicate with each other. In the clinical IT world, we have been given a prime directive. National efforts are rapidly underway to implement electronic health records by 2014. As a result of the high-tech provisions of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, all eligible providers and hospitals must demonstrate that they are using electronic health records in a meaningful way, as defined by set criteria. Failure to do so will result in inability to qualify for incentive payments for the next few years, but, more importantly, the imposition of financial penalties in 2015. The goals for meaningful use highlight the importance of effective communication and coordination of care in improving quality, safety, and efficiency of care. Care in all settings must support effective communication, which is a necessary prerequisite to improving care coordination, engaging patients and families, ensuring privacy and security protections, reducing disparities, and ultimately improving quality, safety, and efficiency of care. For this reason, HIT professionals must understand the importance of designing systems to support these goals. In 2003, the Institutes of Medicine issued a consensus report on priorities necessary to transform healthcare quality. Care coordination was identified as the number one priority for national action. This priority area relates to all aspects of healthcare, from acute to chronic, to preventive, to end of life. Over 100 million Americans have some type of chronic condition, with about 60 million having more than one. For people with chronic conditions, care coordination across multiple providers is critical. Studies of Medicare patients age 65 and over reveal that the more chronic conditions one has, the greater the numbers of hospitalizations. Clinical integration is essential for care coordination. Clinical integration is the extent to which there is coordination of patient care services across people, functions, and sites over time. Such coordination requires effective information transfer and communication.
Teams and teamwork are important aspects in the healthcare delivery today. In a complex, healthcare setting, it takes many teams to run a system. For example, you're going to have people from all across the spectrum of any healthcare environment that you're in, being contributing people to choosing and maintaining systems that will deliver safe patient care and to ensure smooth throughput processes for patients and families.
Julie Apker and her research team conducted a study of the form and content of communications between emergency physicians and admitting physicians. They used audio files of telephone handoff conversations and developed an utterance coding structure. This structure included such content as patient presentation, professional environment. It also includes language form, such as information seeking, information giving, and information verifying. Their analysis revealed that there were differences in the functions and emphasis on each patient's specialty. The emergency physician did most of the talking and placed emphasis on immediate care decisions. The hospitalist largely listened and focused on information needed for longer-term inpatient care. Very little information verification occurred, actually less than 1%, and only 8% of utterances involved information seeking. Of note was the fact that there were very few direct statements of acceptance of responsibility for the care of the patient. Many patient transfers occur in inpatient settings each day. As healthcare has grown more complex, information sharing among providers has become more problem-prone. For example, a patient can enter the facility through the emergency department, go directly to the operating room for emergency surgery, leave the operating room for the intensive care unit, develop a complication and go back to the OR, be stabilized, then back to the intensive care unit, then transfer to a general care unit to prepare for discharge home. The patient may have relatively brief encounters with multiple providers in a seemingly disjointed environment. Many organizations are turning to information technology to help bridge communication across this increasingly specialized and fragmented environment. The challenge for health IT professionals is to design and implement technologies to support the many diverse clinical workflows in multiple departments. Ineffective information handoffs are also problematic. To maintain continuity of care, timely information transfer is critical. Nurse-to-nurse handoff is often called report. Failure to provide a timely report causes problems. The researchers observed the following scenario. Once an inpatient bed became available, the emergency department nurse contacted the floor nurse receiving the patient to give report. The floor nurse informed the emergency department nurse that she was too busy with her patients and asked her to call back in 15 minutes. The emergency department nurse called after the specified time and was again told that the receiving nurse was unavailable. When the emergency department nurse was finally able to give report, she forgot to mention that the patient had a special type of IV line, as she was busy with other activities while waiting to give report. This missing information could have increased the risk for medical error. Another observation that was made during information handoff was the deliberate withholding of information, especially when the transfer was to occur close to shift change. Nurses withheld information on patient movement and bed availability for the incoming transfers, resulting in a bottleneck in patient flow and the patient being assigned to a less appropriate unit. Information technology should support both intra or within departmental and inter or between departmental coordination activities at the same time. Use of electronic bed boards and electronic medical record systems can either be useful or completely ineffective in supporting the patient transfer process. The researchers observed that universal access to the bed board management system allowed the clinical department to bypass the admitting department and make their own bed assignment decisions. This caused major disruption in the workflow of the post-anesthesia care unit. Communication deficits and lack of timely transfer of patient information post-hospital discharge are frequent problems in healthcare and may affect the quality and safety of care. The patient's primary care provider resumes responsibility for the patient's care on discharge, yet, in the absence of information regarding the patient's hospital course and discharge instructions, does not have the entire clinical picture. When writing on deficits in communication and information transfer, Sunil Kripalani and his team suggest that timely transfer of accurate, relevant patient data at discharge and arrangements for post-discharge follow-up may improve the continuity of handoff. Kripalani's team examined deficits in communication and information transfer at hospital discharge to identify interventions to improve the process. They reviewed 55 observational studies looking specifically at communication and information transfer at hospital discharge, and 18 controlled studies examining the efficacy of intervention to improve information transfer. They found that direct communication between hospital physicians and primary care providers occurred only 3 to 20% of the time, that the availability of the discharge summary within 1 week of discharge was low, only 12% to 34% of the time, and remained low 4 weeks post-discharge, or 51% to 77% of the time. When present, discharge summaries lacked important clinical information that the primary care provider needed to effectively care for the patient. Poor communication contributed to primary provider dissatisfaction and affected the quality of care in 25% of follow-up visits. There is evidence that a large number of inpatients, nearly half, experience at least one medical error involving medication continuity, diagnostic workup, or test follow-up. A patient's medical regimen may be altered many times while he's in the hospital due to acute illness. On discharge, the decision may have been made to hold or alter the dosage of the patient's usual home medications, or to add a new medication that requires laboratory follow-up. It's essential that the primary care provider have access to this new information. While the hospital is required to provide the patient with a new home medication list on discharge, the patient may not remember to bring this list to his primary care follow-up appointment. With shorter lengths of stay, patients and their family members take responsibility for the patient's care a lot earlier and may not see the primary care provider for days to weeks after discharge. If follow-up is not arranged prior to discharge, the patient and/or his family may not remember to make the appointment on arriving home. The patient may call the primary care provider before the scheduled appointment with concerns over discharge instructions of which the primary care provider has no first-hand knowledge. Furthermore, the hospital may have misjudged the patient's level of post-discharge social support, and the patient may be unable to follow through on follow-up appointments. Additionally, there may be a disconnect between the patient's understanding of post-hospital instructions and the information that has been provided to the patient before discharge. Oftentimes, instructions are written or printed out without the realization that the patient and his caregivers have limited functional literacy skills, with difficulty reading and understanding medical instructions, medication labels, and appointment slips. In order to evaluate whether electronic health records facilitate or pose challenges to care coordination in the primary care environment, O'Malley and her colleagues conducted telephone interviews of physicians and non-physicians from 26 community practices. They examined the effectiveness of the electronic health record with respect to six principal tasks necessary for effective care coordination. They looked at the ability of the electronic health record to maintain patient continuity, to document and compile patient information, and to use information to manage and coordinate care delivered in the primary care practice. This included accessing and assessing patient data, managing and coordinating, and population-based tracking. They also looked at the electronic health record effectiveness with respect to referrals and consultations, sharing care with clinicians across practices and settings, and providing care or exchanging information for transition and emergency care. Several themes arose from the data, which revealed that electronic health records both facilitate and challenge coordination of care. First, the use of the electronic health record helped within-office care coordination, mostly by providing ready access to patient data during encounters in real time to support patient care decision making and through use of electronic messaging. Second, due to the lack of standardization of key data elements required for health information exchange, electronic health records in provider practices were less able to support coordination between providers and settings. When systems were interoperable, however, the ability to initiate, communicate, and track referrals and consultations was greatly enhanced. Third, managing the sheer volume of information and overflow was especially challenging. For example, there was repetitive content of notes and inappropriate use of templates that made it difficult to identify important clinical information. Technology is limited in its ability to capture decision making and future care plans, such as specific target goals to be achieved over time. For example, it was difficult to track progress towards goals and preventive and chronic care services for each patient. Lastly, simply designing EHRs for billing purposes will not ensure clinical relevance to patients and care coordination. Coordination of care requires highly effective teams who optimize the use of information, people and resources to achieve the best clinical outcomes for patients. They eliminate barriers to quality and safety. Communication has been said to be the lifeline of a well-functioning team. Teamwork cannot occur without effective communication. Unit 5.2 answers the question, can HIT hinder communication and care coordination? While the advent of electronic health records have improved communication in some respects, such as providing immediate access to patient information, for some clinicians, the EHR may actually pose a distraction during patient encounters. Furthermore, some providers may grow to rely on computer information rather than actually speaking with patients and other clinicians. In Unit 5.1, you saw a variety of ways in which HIT can facilitate communication. It's important that you, as future health information technology professionals, also understand how HIT can actually serve as a barrier to effective communication. The complexity of the healthcare environment posed a challenge to effective communication even before the advent of electronic health records. In fact, part of the impetus for using EHRs across all healthcare settings has been to improve communication. What we've found, however, is that HIT will not improve communication processes that are already dysfunctional or inadequate without significant change to the healthcare environment. Marge Benham-Hutkin and Judith Efkin inform us that increased healthcare complexity has been accompanied by problems with information sharing among multiple providers. The healthcare system is characterized by the provision of complex care, short encounters, multiple providers, and increased opportunities for communication breakdown. These conditions set the stage for increased medical error. Just as HIT can support good communication and efficient workflow, it can actually amplify bad communication practices and poor clinical workflows. The processes by which information technology influence communication and workflow are quite complex and adaptive. HIT processes use repeated routines, which, when designed to support dysfunctional practices, can actually perpetuate these practices. Communication and workflow processes influence the design, implementation, and adoption of information technology. Since such a reciprocal relationship exists between HIT and communication and workflow, an understanding of how each affects the other is essential to the HIT professional. Effective communication is a challenge, even in the absence of information and communication technology. There are a multitude of problems that can occur. What I think I am saying to you may not be what you are hearing. Healthcare providers are bombarded by a barrage of information. They experience cognitive overload due to the complexity of their work and the information demands that accompany that work. There are both internal and external distractions and interruptions during the communication process, including time pressures, environmental noise, and the emotional state of the provider. It's no wonder that effective communication is hard won in the healthcare setting. Communication is largely influenced by social norms. We communicate with our peers in the manner that is expected, and we take our cues from the members of our group. When we introduce new technology into the mix, without planning for how that technology may potentially alter our group norms, we may end up with downstream effects that we had not intended. We just implemented a provider order entry system, and it's not going well at all. Before computers, when the docs wanted a drug given stat, they would tell the nurse first, then write the order. Now that they can enter orders into POE from anywhere, they don't talk to us anymore. The computer system does have a red flag when the stat order is entered, but our docs think that the red flag lets us know immediately about that new order. Hello, I'm taking care of patients here, not watching the computer system. Communication failures can occur when there is not a shared understanding of how the message is received. This can result in adverse events, especially in chaotic environments such as intensive care units. In the case you just heard, the provider felt that the message regarding the stat order was communicated clearly, since the computerized provider order entry system generates a red flag to tell the nurse that a stat order has been generated. The provider is not thinking about the frequency with which the nurse may be checking the patient record for the presence of alert notification. The nurse, on the other hand, was used to the ICU norm of verbal communication related to stat orders. Clearly, the multidisciplinary team did not plan for changes in communication norms. Assumptions were made on the part of both the physicians and the nurses. HIT professionals can assist teams in planning for changes to social norms following the introduction of information technology into the clinical setting. We know that HIT implementation alters the form and pattern of communication and the way in which providers exchange patient information with each other and with patients and families. So how can HIT professionals help? Well-designed information systems and workflow re-engineering processes that facilitate clarity of information communicated between providers is essential. This can be especially problematic in settings where there are a variety of non-integrated clinical information systems that are patched together, leading to gaps in information. These information gaps actually can result in medical error. Adoption and use of HIT is strongly influenced by patterns of relationships among members of the healthcare team. Team members belong to different occupational and professional groups and may represent different departments. Team members are also interdependent. They rely on each other for cooperation and collaboration during the course of the patient's care. Anderson presents an example describing a social network in healthcare. Physicians consult with one another in diagnosing a patient's illness. They interact with pharmacists, nurses, and medical technicians in providing care. Physicians, clinics, hospitals, medical laboratories, home care agencies, and insurance companies may all share a common electronic medical record system. Examining the patterns of interactions among healthcare providers can be helpful to identify opinion leaders who are critical to the success of information technology adoption. Social network analysis really looks at the relations among providers and looks to see whether there are patterns among particular groups so that an information technology intervention can be designed that supports communication among these subgroups. When examining the social networks in a physician practice, you, as the HIT member of the team, would assist by obtaining relational data and clustering it. You would ask questions such as, who does the provider routinely refer patients to? Who does he consult with, discuss professional matters with, or take on-call coverage for? You would ask clustering questions, like, are there physician subgroups in the practice who have similar patterns of referral, consultation, discussion, and on-call coverage? You would then design an information technology solution to support communication practices that are common to a particular group. Sorby and Nitro are Norwegian investigators who have been seeking to uncover design processes that work with the complexity of healthcare communication and information technology requirements. They recognize that much of the success in adoption of technology relates to the effectiveness of technology in supporting communication in healthcare. They used semi-structured observation to inform information technology design. They caution that healthcare is a communication and information intensive sector and point to its history of mixed success in introducing and using HIT. They believe that some of the problems that we encounter are due to simplistic design processes and methods that are not suitable for the complexity of today's healthcare environment. Semi-structured observation is a tool that's useful in studying communication and information sharing practices. The observer looks at speech acts and examines them for meaning. J.L. Austin, in his book How to Do Things with Words, published in 1962 by Oxford University Press, identifies three types of meaning of speech acts. The literal meaning, or what I say is a statement of fact. The social function of what I say, where I say one thing, but I'm really hinting at something else. And the effect of what I say, or what is done or experienced by someone else because of what I say. By observing speech acts, the health professional can see how healthcare providers can use language to accomplish intended actions, and how those who listen to the message infer intended meaning from what is said. For example, the literal meaning would be, if you say, "It's cold here," it means it's cold here. Social function would be, when you say it's cold in here, you might really mean, "Turn off the air conditioning." The effect of the speech act would be that someone turns off the air conditioning. Semi-structured observation is used to collect quantitative or objective and qualitative or subjective data about multidisciplinary communication. It focuses on roles, types of information, and sources of information. Sorby and Nitro use semi-structured observation of communicative acts to examine pre-round communication practices so that they could design information systems to support these practices. They looked at speech acts in a single patient care unit and compared these with those of similar roles on different patient care units. They also profiled specific activities such as drug-related events. When examining their data, they found that communicative acts fell into five categories, which they adapted from the early work of philosophy professor John Searle. First were assertive acts, which stated facts about conditions, such as the acts of assessing, diagnosing, observing, or recording. Next were commissive acts, which stated that the speaker would perform certain tasks, such as evaluate, review, confirm. Other acts included directives, which aim to get someone else to do something, such as order, refer, or request. Expressive, which referred to the speaker's state of mind, such as I suspect, or a query. And finally, declarative acts, which change conditions by a single statement, such as admit, sign, or discharge. From these acts, the IT team was able to develop detailed functional requirements for the information system. Since interclinician communication occurs in highly interruptive environments, an analysis of communication processes can help to inform the development of communication devices to enhance communication interruptions or defer them to more appropriate times. Synchronous communication, such as face-to-face discussion and telephone communication, place the speaker at risk for interruption and distraction due to the disruptive healthcare environment. Frequent interruptions during communication increase the likelihood that the message will be misinterpreted or lost. Edwards and her research team examined synchronous and asynchronous information and data exchanges at two hospital sites. At both sites, interclinician communication was observed, and time, personnel involved, interruptions, and information technology and other device use was recorded. Most of the communication was face-to-face, the most common asynchronous communication vehicle was the computerized hospital record. This was true in both physician and nurse groups. Interruptive events were common with synchronous communication, accounting for 22% of the attending physician's time and 20% of the nurse's time. The researchers were able to uncover a number of communication inefficiencies with respect to synchronous communication methods. While information and communication technology will not and should not replace face-to-face communication, it can help to mediate interruptions that are not urgent and can defer face-to-face interaction to a more opportune time. Edwards discusses one case study in which the physician attempted to make 3 consultations by landline telephone. In the case of the 3rd consult, the physician called, paged, called a second time, and finally left a message with the secretary. Each of the 3 attempts at contact resulted in deferment to an asynchronous mode of communication, wasting precious time and energy. Unit 5.3 will discuss ways in which HIT supports care coordination. The objective of this unit is to describe ways in which HIT design can enhance communication and care coordination. There are basic components and processes of communication. In the setting of healthcare, one provider initiates a message. He explains or encodes the situation and makes recommendations. The second provider understands or decodes the message from the first. The messages themselves have to be explained with language that is familiar to both parties. These messages can be conveyed in verbal, written, or electronic means or channels to promote safe patient care. An important and often forgotten reality is that the healthcare environment is rarely silent. Providers must be aware of background noise, external noise, such as the paging system or alarms, cluttered workspaces, which are a form of visual noise and can be just as distracting as auditory noise, as well as internal noise or the provider's own mental state that can make the message transmission unclear. Well-coordinated care occurs and is made possible when providers share the same context or frame of reference. As you can see, communication is not a simple matter. When I arrived at the hospital for the birth of my 3rd child, I was in active labor. I had a history of 2 cesarean sections, but the plan was to try a vaginal delivery this time. When I was asked about drug allergies, I told the nurse that I had had problems with fentanyl, a drug often used for pain during labor. My husband, who is a nurse, added that my blood pressure dropped so significantly that our physician recommends that I do not receive that drug. During my prolonged labor, the anesthesia provider changed 3 times. Although my sensitivity to fentanyl was documented in the medical record, the 1st and 2nd anesthesia providers attempted to inject the drug into my IV line during the course of my labor. They were stopped by my husband, who was present and monitoring my care. Finally, since the trial at a vaginal delivery had failed, my husband was asked to leave the room for a few minutes so that the team could prepare me for surgery. During the time that he was out of the room, a 3rd provider administered fentanyl. The next thing I knew, my blood pressure was dropping and I was being tilted backwards, head down, as my husband was being escorted back into the delivery suite. I heard him exclaim, "You gave her fentanyl, didn't you?" Communication failures are a major contributor to adverse events in healthcare. In the case you just heard, the provider responsible for the patient's pain management changed 3 times. Each time a provider changes, a handoff occurs. Each handoff should have included the fact that the patient had had difficulties in the past with fentanyl. Her medical record also included documentation of her sensitivity to the drug. The patient's husband provided a safety net for the first 2 times a provider attempted, erroneously, to give the drug. However, that safety net was removed while the patient was being prepared for surgery. This case clearly indicates how communication breakdown can result in adverse outcomes. Perhaps the most important communication challenge we face today is that of handoff communication. As patients move throughout, within, and between healthcare settings, there's the potential for error. Important information needs to be communicated to the right people at the right time in order to ensure a common understanding of the patient's clinical state and healthcare needs. The Joint Commission, an independent not-for-profit organization that accredits and certifies over 17,000 healthcare organizations and programs in the United States, established a Center for Transforming Healthcare in 2009 to assist participating hospitals and health systems to collaboratively address critical safety and quality problems. One of their current projects is aimed at improving handoff communication. There are a variety of tools that the electronic record has in its toolbox to assist with the communication needed for care coordination. Let's talk about a few of these tools, which include whiteboards, clipboards, clinical summaries, automated notifications, handoff notes, and discharge summaries. Whiteboards are one example of a communication tool that was developed in the pre-electronic age and continues to serve healthcare teams in both handwritten and electronic formats. Studies have shown that these boards are used for a variety of purposes: communicating the names of the patient's nurse, patient's doctor, other care team members. They're used to communicate the clinical service of record, patient-specific risk or precautions, such as fall risk or contact precautions. They communicate the daily goals of care, family contact information, scheduled activities such as testing or therapeutic procedures, and the anticipated discharge date. Responsibility for keeping this information up to date on the board varies, but most often falls to nursing staff members. The major barriers to keeping this information current in the case of handwritten whiteboards are competing priorities and not having enough whiteboard markers readily available. The major facilitator appears to be creating pre-designed whiteboards with templates that clearly define the information to be written or keyed into them if they're electronic. Additionally, when there is agreement on the utility of the whiteboard for enhancing communication and clear accountability as to who will keep the information current, these can be effective in achieving their purpose. Electronic whiteboards can be effective in improving multidisciplinary communication and coordination of care and have certain clear benefits over manual whiteboards. While both systems can provide a single visible display, electronic systems tend to have the advantage in terms of legibility and user-friendliness of the display. While data have to be hand-entered with a specific type of marker and erased as information changes on the manual whiteboards, the electronic boards automatically extract key information in real time from clinical information systems and allow for variable data to be keyed into the system as needed. Both systems can use color as flags, however, lost or dried up markers of a particular color may be a problem with manual systems. When patients move, automated tracking is less burdensome on staff than manual tracking. Finally, manual whiteboards are only accessible at a single location, whereas electronic whiteboards can be viewed from any terminal in which the software is installed. There are lots of user-designed information tools that are paper-based. These have been called clipboard tools because, whether they're entirely manual or are the result of printouts from clinical information systems, they all result in a piece of paper that is carried around by the clinician. Electronic forms can pull data from a single or multiple information sources. They may require whitening or crossing out information that is not essential for the care of the particular patient. Some of these forms contain information about a single patient, while others list out information about groups of patients. Manual forms may be entirely handwritten by the provider, or they may consist in taping pieces of relevant information together. Both electronic and manual forms may entail annotating or using colored highlighters or shorthand symbols to draw attention to specific details. Some clinical information systems have the ability to pull large amounts of patient data into a summary view to facilitate communication, discussion, and planning. These are most often used for handoff communication, such as nursing report or provider sign-out report, when responsibility for the patient's care is transferred from one provider to another. They're also used for multidisciplinary care planning and rounding, and for handoffs during transfers of care from one care team or facility to another. Well-designed information technology can pull relevant clinical data, such as values and ranges, significant events, problems, allergies, and medications, plan of care, patient progress, and other patient-specific information, such as preferences and cultural values. Automated notifications are a popular communication tool in IT. These tools are meant to facilitate human-computer interaction. Examples include electronic referral requests, alert notifications, and provider-to-pharmacy communications through provider order entry. Sending notifications to referral services based on admission screening criteria can facilitate care coordination. Incorporating predefined screening criteria for nutritional, violence, spiritual, and complex discharge risk into the nursing admission screening document allows for automatic notification of the appropriate department for patients who are at risk for deficits. In the same way, screens for abuse or violence and complex discharge planning requirements can automatically notify social work and case management so that early intervention can occur. Spiritual screens and functional screens can be developed to alert the chaplain's office in physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech-language pathology. Alert notifications of abnormal diagnostic test results, such as critical action laboratory values, draw the provider's attention to these values to facilitate early action. Automated notifications also occur among members of the care team. For example, electronic health records transmit prescription information from prescriber to pharmacist, and vice versa through the provider order entry component. Little is known about the effectiveness of these tools, nor about their downstream effects. Isong and his colleagues at the Houston Veterans Administration Center of Inquiry to Improve Outpatient Safety through Effective Electronic Communication are currently conducting a study on the effectiveness these electronic communication modalities have demonstrated. They also use the Systems Engineering Initiative for Patient Safety, or the SIPES model discussed in an earlier unit, to ascertain whether these tools introduce potential sources of error. As a refresher, the SIPES model is used to assess healthcare systems, processes, and outcomes to help develop system redesign recommendations. It looks at the persons, the environment, the organization, technology and tools, and tasks as these relate to the care process and the patient and employee and organizational outcomes. This type of model is ideal for the complex task analysis needed to determine the effectiveness of automatic notifications in reducing error. Automatic data transfer from the longitudinal health record to the latest clinical encounter record is essential for continuity of care, especially with respect to critical information such as allergies or other significant alerts, problems, and home medications. Health IT professionals can ensure that data are transferred to a predefined location where they can be validated by the primary provider and made available to all of the patient's providers for future encounters. Automatic flags and a link can be sent to the latest encounter record to indicate presence of additional patient information in the longitudinal record. The flag could be set to include encounters within the recent past, for example, 6 months, or could search for all previous encounters. Electronically available data can be pulled into a handoff note to which the person signing off to another provider can add actions to be performed during the period of coverage to meet the patient's immediate needs. Structured content ensures that all relevant data for the particular patient population is conveyed during handoff, such as shift-to-shift, cross-coverage, and lunch or break coverage. Electronically available data can be pulled into a discharge worksheet and ultimately into a discharge summary note, which can be automatically faxed to post-discharge providers and agencies. The worksheet can be designed as a dynamic document to communicate discharge planning activities. This worksheet can auto-populate sections of the discharge summary, which can be finalized on discharge of the patient. A report can be designed to provide discharge instructions to the patient in patient-friendly language, including a new updated home medication list. Multidisciplinary rounds allow the diverse members of the patient's care team to meet and communicate, coordinate patient care, make joint decisions, and manage their work. These are called by a variety of different names, from discharge rounds to patient care rounds to daily rounds. They take place in a variety of places and at various frequencies. The usage patterns of information available in the electronic health record during rounding activities indicate that most of the information accessed during rounds include information about medications, vital signs, and laboratory test results. Variance tracking forms track variances in patient outcomes from those expected in clinical pathways. Progress notes are used to document discussions during rounds related to the patient's progress and plan of care. Flow sheets can be used to document and track discharge planning activities. Bedside monitoring devices that obtain information directly through device interfaces can pull in vital signs from physiologic monitors, ventilator settings and respiratory status, as well as doses of medication drips. Process-oriented information tools can help improve communication during multidisciplinary rounding activities by information organization, communication, and work management. Computerized rounding and sign-out tools help providers organize care before they round by automatically importing important patient data from the electronic health record and either displaying them or printing them out in a condensed format. Daily goals forms, check-off lists, and discharge needs assessment tools are other electronic tools that are developed to facilitate communication and information sharing by providing summary information and explicitly requiring providers to identify goals for each patient. Other electronic tools that help to manage the work include to-do lists and informal notes that are not included in the electronic health record, but are rather seen as temporary work aids. Decision support tools allow ready access to reference materials, clinical practice guidelines, protocols, and other evidence-based health resources. Clinical pathway reports allow providers to assess and discuss significant variations from the clinical pathway. Graphic displays aid the multidisciplinary team to visualize laboratory findings on mobile devices. Multidisciplinary rounding activities are such an important part of patient care that HIT professionals will spend a considerable amount of effort to get it right. Gerses and Zio discussed a variety of measures that can help us to evaluate the use of information tools on multidisciplinary rounds. We can look at the actual content of rounds. Do all providers contribute? What types of information are needed? Is there repetition? Can we code content of discharge planning rounds, such as housing, financing, home health nursing, equipment needs? How much time is spent on pre-rounding activities? What is the duration of rounds? Are there any problems with hearing rounding discussions? How about interruptions? We can also look at whether our tools help with situation awareness. Is each member of the multidisciplinary team familiar with all patients by the end of rounds? Do they understand the goals for the day? Are patient needs identified? Are goals set? Is the team talking about discharge needs? Were any patients not discussed during rounds? Finally, we can examine the impact of technology-assisted rounding activities on care processes. Do we see less medication errors? Does the team catch errors earlier? Are we meeting patient goals? Does the team maintain patient privacy and confidentiality? In summary, effective communication is a necessary prerequisite to the improvement of care coordination. The greatest risk for ineffective communication occurs during handoff and care transitions. Health IT can both enhance and hinder effective communication, teamwork, and care coordination. You, as a future health IT professional, will be instrumental in designing and implementing information and communication technologies to support interdisciplinary care coordination.